On this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Decide for their children often to become, for example, engineers, medical doctors. If it's your choice, I can predict a lot about you by even your choice for profession.
You got the photos and people are listening in and they want to know, okay, you have all this information, but what do you actually do with it?
I can give you a specific example, even what I saw in you. Would you like?
Health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and much more. My name is Ben Greenfield. Welcome to the show.
All right, folks. Well, here we are. I have an interesting podcast episode for you today. It's with Olga Stevko. She is of Russian origin, by my calculations, as you will hear from her rollicking accent. And this was honestly a very interesting podcast for me because she wanted to psychoanalyze me by looking at my eyes and my body movement and my physical patterning. And apparently this is what she specializes in, is kind of like figuring you out and the way that you tick based on how you look. And she does this stuff like via Skype, for example. And so I decided that after she reached out to me and told me about her unique approach to typing you and to figuring out really just like the way that you think and different things that you can do to improve your thought patterns or improve your productivity or improve things like sleep or creativity or physical function or mental function using some of the tips that she gives, that she would be interesting to interview. And ultimately, it turned out to be a far different interview than what I expected. I was kind of feeling a little bit lost during parts of it, just trying to decode what exactly it is that she does and what it was that she was looking at. But regardless, I thought that there was enough kind of interesting content in there to give you this episode. And happy July 4th, by the way, if you're listening to this podcast when it comes out. So anyways, you can go to the show notes and I'll give you the URL during the actual interview itself to where you can leave your thoughts, your comments, your feedback. I'm very curious what you guys think of this interview today. And my apologies if it turns out to be a head scratcher for you. However, I think it could be some interesting information for you nonetheless. So there you have it.
Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use a special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are 3 of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful, of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever, but I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this off from this company called LilaQ. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called LilaQ. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. LilaQ, LeelaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LilaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off.
All right, folks. Well, this is a special episode because this is a video podcast. I don't even usually do video podcasts. I didn't do my hair today, so my apologies. I can't do my hair anyways because it's the middle of the coronavirus quarantine at the time I'm recording this, so I don't think hairstylists are considered to be crucial businesses, so I'm just letting this thing grow all out. And the reason I'm doing this podcast today as a video, not just an audio, is because my guest is Dr. Olga Stevko. And what she does is she actually analyzes people's patterns, their movement patterns, their faces, and she's going to be able to better explain what exactly she does. But essentially, she identifies how these patterns affect things like your nervous system and your aging patterns and your overall biology and health. And so what she does is she watches your face, she watches your posture, she listens to the quality of your voice, your verbal and your nonverbal communication, and then develops ways that you can enhance yourself based off of what she finds out. Now, I met Olga at a conference a few months ago, and she was trying to explain to me what she did, and I didn't quite get it, but I thought maybe what we could do is actually record a podcast, because I actually find it kind of interesting, and I think you guys might find this kind of interesting too. So, so Olga, before we jump in, for those of you listening in, all the show notes for everything, including the video, if you want to watch the video version of this, you can go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com/Olga. That's O-L-G-A, BenGreenfieldFitness.com/Olga. That being said, Olga, this is a little bit of an out of the ordinary podcast because, I am still trying to wrap my head around exactly what you do. You don't have like a book that I've read or anything like that. So we're literally breaking new ground here as we get to know each other. But can you give me your best explanation of your background and what you do?
First of all, Ben, thank you for having me on your podcast. And I will briefly explain. Neuroscience has shown that 95% of our life experiences are shaped by our unconscious programs. And everything that is happening around us in environment, it does not matter what, either some what you see, or what you hear, what you touch, what you smell, what you taste can trigger some unresolved trauma, even passed genealogically or formed during even womb experiences and early childhood. And whatever is going in environment can create a response of your nervous system with flight, fight, or freeze. And that can affect pretty much everything in your body, including your muscles, and affect your immune system, cardiovascular system. And that's why I can see how people respond. It will show up in everything, in their face, posture, how they walk, quality of voice, even how they think, communicate, even in writing.
Okay, so you're actually identifying whether or not somebody's been traumatized?
It's not necessarily traumatized because now science shows that trauma can pass even genealogically. For example, you have a peaceful, wonderful childhood, but because your genes can express epigenetics for anything. For example, you can re-experience certain traumatic experiences, even if it's not yours.
Yeah, we've talked about that on previous podcasts. Most recently, I think with David Rabin, we were talking about this wearable device that he developed to help with trauma called an Apollo, and we talked about epigenetic trauma. And you know, I certainly won't deny that that exists. You know, we talked about the Dutch winter hunger and other examples of, for example, people on plant medicine journeys and releasing epigenetic trauma, whether sexual or violence or anything like that. So I totally get where you're coming from with that. But what I'm curious about is where you make the leap from someone being traumatized to then you somehow figuring out how to determine that based on face, posture, voice, etc. Like where were you trained? How did you learn to do this stuff?
Actually, Ben, what I do, I created this methodology. I got some ideas and concepts from many different fields. For example, I use my knowledge in medicine because I'm trained as a medical doctor, how your brain is functioning and your body is functioning. Also, I got an incredible skill in medical school, deduction. Use a lot of deduction. Also, I always was very, very observant since my early childhood. My observations, also intuition, and also my knowledge in neuro-linguistic programming, working on identity level and belief system. I pretty much combine many modalities, and also I studied philosophy in medical school, and it changed my mind forever how I think about everything.
You studied philosophy in medical school?
Yes.
At the same time? Is that common?
Yes, because actually it was obligatory in Russian medical school to study some psychology for how you communicate with patients and philosophy, how you think about certain things.
Interesting. All right. Well, I want you to walk me through how exactly this works, like what you look for and exactly how you're identifying trauma, because you, when you were preparing for this interview with me, you had me email you a photo of my face. You even had me draw a picture, like draw like a doodling picture and send that to you. So putting all these pieces together, begin to walk me and the folks who are listening or watching this through how this actually works, like how someone works with somebody like you to actually identify trauma and then what they do from there.
I am looking at everything in system, and I will explain. For example, some psychologists use a term neuro muscular lock. And it's a kind of tension in muscles, rigidity, also kind of fixed map in the world. In this case, people who had traumas, they can relieve kind of very limited how they perceive the world, themselves, kind of in a rigid way, like being in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much your face, body, posture, how you walk, even your drawings will show all of that.
How do you know that that's trauma versus someone just might be stressed out that day? Or maybe, I don't know, you hear people talk about things like, you know, electro hypersensitivity. Maybe somebody's around a bunch of Wi-Fi and 5G and it's stressing them out. Or maybe somebody, you know, ate the wrong thing for lunch and they've got indigestion. Like how do you differentiate between all these other things that might be causing someone to be in a sympathetically driven state?
If it's indigestion, just for example, food poisoning,
mm-hmm.
Of course, I will see that distress. I will ask questions. I will understand that something is not usual happening. Only you asking how you'll see if it was a trauma. Actually, what psychologists showed, when trauma happened, it's pretty much even you are not traumatized in everyday life. Only certain things like sounds, smells, what you see can create reoccurrence of that trauma. It's all unconscious because whatever you experience, your sensory perception of the reality can trigger that unresolved trauma. And it will be all unconscious, and you can see it in your body, and in your face, and in your voice.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and walk through exactly how this works. So you got the picture, you got these photos of me, you got my posture. Do you want to use me as an example of what you do?
Actually, I would explain what I'm looking for first, okay?
Yeah, okay.
For example, in face and posture, I will look for muscle tension. And for example, in body, if there is rigidity or on a contrary fluidity, and I will see it.
Wait, rigidity or what? What was the other thing you said?
If your body is fluid.
Okay.
Rigid or fluid.
Okay.
What I see that constant muscle tension, it can create even certain expression of your face you have most of that time. Of course, if you will try to change it consciously, it will work for some short period of time, but not always. And muscle tension can create certain deeper lines in your body. For example, your forehead, like where like nose and mouth is. It can create certain deeper lines. And also what I would look for, even when I listen to the voice, voices created, for example, your muscles that take part in breathing. If it's, for example, tension in those muscles, it won't be enough air flow to the vocal cords. Also, your face, if you have tension, for example, in your jaw or around your muscles, around your mouth, it can create changes in your voice. That's why even by listening to the voice, I will get a sense where tension is, in what kind of muscles. And by observing people, I have been doing it for almost 17 years. I saw patterns of even in voice, facial expression, posture, and certain patterns will show consequences of what I see or what I hear. And I am able to predict how people are. Either they are expressing themselves completely or withholding, not expressing, suppressing certain things. And also even how people express themselves verbally or in writing, if they can connect deeply with people and themselves or not.
Okay.
I can predict like a lot of how their life is because of that.
And you can do this kind of stuff like on Zoom and on Skype too. Do you actually work with people virtually?
Oh yes. Often I work virtually. Only sometimes Zoom is kind of better, more crisp video. And sometimes I ask for additional photos, for example, face posture, and also video recording. I can maybe look for a little bit longer period of time, for example, 2, 3, 4 minutes.
Okay. All right. Got it. So you're looking for all this stuff, and you're making me very self-conscious, by the way, as you're saying all this, because I'm at, you know, I'm chewing gum right now. I don't know if that messes you up, but you're making me very self-aware. So so those are all the things that you look for, and then where do you go from there?
I do it just to identify what unconscious programs cause certain issues. And when I identify what it is, it's possible to work on these unconscious programs. And in this case, many things can be shifted when you transform certain major unconscious programs.
Okay.
Even how you think and perceive yourself, people in the world can be shifted. Even your voice can be shifted. How you look can be shifted.
Can you give me some practical examples of the kind of things that you look at? Like, are we talking about like whether somebody's lips are pursed, whether their head's cocked to the side, and what something like that would actually mean, like when it comes down to brass tacks?
Yes, I can give you a specific example, even what I saw in you. Would you like?
Sure, you can start with me. You can start with like a success you've had with a patient, or you know, whatever. I'm happy to go with both if you want. I just want to know how this actually fleshes out once you start to put it into practice.
Let's talk about, for example, I look for a position of neck.
Okay.
How neck and your head is aligned with entire body. For example, what I saw, and maybe you are not even aware of that, Ben. Are you aware that your neck position is a little bit forward?
Yeah, I've seen that before.
And also kind of little bit in, kind of shoulders are somehow up.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of that?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I've noticed that before. Like basically a little bit more of a forward neck posture.
Yes. And even you are an incredible athlete. You exercise, you work your muscles, and it's an indication that kind of, if you talk about freeze, flight, or fight response, it can be both. It can be kind of freeze, and I'm talking about unconscious reaction, kind of unconscious need to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. Kind of, I call it as a turtle, kind of going in, inward, kind of need unconsciously to protect yourself.
Doesn't everybody have that unconscious need to protect themselves?
Possibly, only in different ways, how okay. It can be created, what I see in your face or posture. I believe most people or all people have need to protect themselves, only how it's showing in kind of can be in a different way.
Okay. So then once you see something like that, what do you then assume from there? What do you do from there?
It's possible to identify what caused it, what kind of unconscious programs. And actually, it's healthy to have that need to protect yourself. For example, if you're on the top of a high-rise building And if you do not have that need, some people can look over, not be careful, and fall, for example. That's why unconscious mind creates that protection all the time. Only some people, the unconscious mind overuse it. And in some situations, it's on a contrary, create problems for these people. And I will give you another example. You ask me about more examples.
Yeah.
For example, when I listen to the voice, I would hear for, for example, pitch, volume, melody, if it's monotone or not, speed, intonation. And for example, it's indication when people are talking too slow, for example, and sometimes monotone can be monotone or not. Mm-hmm. It can be an indication of more free state of nervous system. And in this case, it can be different variations. Sometimes for these people, their mental processing can be very fast, but they can be more slow in body. Mm-hmm. They are slow to move in life, for example. Or it can be different metaphorically on a contrary. They are doing a lot, but because in that free state, it's no clarity, not right strategies how to, they are doing a lot and not moving forward in life with the speed they would like. They're kind of like spinning their wheels, or kind of a metaphor, hamster on a wheel, doing a lot, exhausting themselves, but not moving forward in life with speed and where do they want to go. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. So when you see this, though, like the kind of the disconnect for me is how you could see that and then say, okay, you've been traumatized versus whatever. You might have, weak shoulder retractors, or you might have a lot going on today and you're multitasking and you're doing the hamster on a wheel thing. I mean, like where do you go from what you've just described all the way down into something like trauma?
By trauma, there is a different kind of trauma. For example, if somebody had a car accident, they broke bones, they had surgery. It's a different kind of trauma. Of course, I will see it, but it's a different thing what I'm talking about. Everybody had experiences of any kind of unpleasant events or traumas during early childhood, some, and mostly passed genealogically. For example, science shows with some experiments, there is some science that trauma passes genealogically even through several generations. That's why I'm talking about often it's not even your trauma. It's because of your genes expression for certain experience in your life.
Okay.
And that's why that experience, it's possible to see in all, like muscle tone, how your voice is, posture. It's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Let's do some more practical examples. So go ahead and use me. Like what based on me sending you a picture, and I want to know more about like what you're looking for when someone draws a picture and sends it to you, and then my face and my posture, like what do you see that is then going to give you some type of information that would change my life for the better or enhance my biology? Or you even say on your website, which I reviewed, for example, that you could enhance things like aging and longevity. And to me, I'm still trying to wrap my head around how that would actually work.
First of all, I will explain how it will work, because there are a lot of different practitioners who are doing, for example, resolving traumas, and they are doing successfully, very successfully. For example, some psychologists, NLP practitioners. There is a field of psychology bioenergetic psychotherapy, and they are looking for similar things. For example, face muscle tension, posture. And what I would do, identifying certain unconscious programs. When you, and I'm not talking about some people work on specific beliefs. I'm talking to unconscious programs that create this response with flight, fight, and freeze. When you transform these programs, it's people do not need to do anything. Many things can be shifted, like automatically. For example, even your speed of mental processing, even your voice, speech. And I had cases when face was shifted so much because muscle tone was completely different, that people asked that person if she or he had plastic surgery, because people even could not recognize that person.
You mean after you worked with them, their face actually changed?
Completely.
What'd you do? What'd you do to accomplish that?
Just by resolving certain transforming unconscious programs.
Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use a special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's five-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office. My cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. carolbike.com. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong, it's one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard, because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full-spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever, but I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called LilaQ. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool-looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off.
Well, yeah, I understand that part, but like how do you actually shorten? Are you talking about like, do you put somebody on some kind of a supplement, or are you doing some kind of like body therapy? Is it talk therapy? Like what exactly are you doing to change a face like that, for example?
I understand that. Now what you're asking. No, it's not any supplements. No, I do not do talk therapy. It is what exactly I do. I will briefly explain. I'm using a combination of different modalities. I studied for years work of Dr. Milton Erickson, a psychiatrist who used trance. Are you familiar with Milton Erickson?
I've heard Milton Erickson's name before, yeah.
And he used hypnosis. I do not do hypnosis, only I studied trance work. And he used language patterns. What I do pretty much when I identify from face posture drawings what unconscious programs cause it, I will use your unconscious mind to resolve it. And I do not do, hypnosis. I created a process how to. For example, if we identify, we are working on your neuromuscular lock that created that neck position related to not safe. And not safe, it's a very big program. There can be sub-programs. And I would ask to draw a drawing too.
Like the drawing that you and me make?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we will bring up to awareness what exactly caused it, what kind of unconscious programs. And each unconscious program will cause you to experience some physical sensations or certain emotions or a metaphorical sensation. And I will explain to you. For example, you would feel kind of, for example, emptiness in some part of your body or very big tension till even pain for some people. Or, for example, kind of anxious feeling, butterflies, or sense of chaos. As an example, in your head or heart. And during this process, or on a contrary, some people cannot feel at all. But there is a feeling of not feeling. It can be a sense of numbness or shutting down. And I will identify on what, or metaphorical sense, kind of, I heard often, for example, there is no way out. And I am imprisoned, for example, for no reason. And you would focus on that. We will choose one specific sense. And I will ask you, not you, we will establish a communication with your unconscious mind. And I do it, your unconscious mind, for example, will create a feeling or a movement in one finger. And you would focus on that specific sensation, any kind, physical or metaphorical or emotional. And I will ask your unconscious mind to find all memories that created the sensation. And you do not need to recall any memory, sometimes it's impossible because your unconscious mind even has access. I cannot understand how, but somehow even to your genealogical experiences, womb experiences, even very early childhood experiences. And your unconscious mind will find all memories that created that. And we will do work, the kind of sub-processes of this process. And after this process, pretty much this unconscious program will be transformed and that feeling will be pretty much gone. And your nervous system will never respond the same way around the same triggers. Those trigger situations will be the same. For example, the same people what cause you to feel uncomfortable, or the same situation, for example, time pressure. And your immune system will never respond. And in this case, your muscles, your cardiovascular, your immune system, endocrine will never respond either. Hmm. That's why the shift is so dramatic.
Has any of this stuff ever been researched?
Some, yes. For example, I did find a lot of research about, for example, passing trauma genealogically. Also, I did research of about unconscious mind and what it does affect. And for example, I read an article of Dr. John Barge. He's a professor of psychology at Yale University, and he wrote that unconscious thoughts are pretty much will unconscious mind will affect most things, how we'll perceive ourselves, the world around us, and also other people, and also affecting all decision making, all of your choice, your behavior, motivation, and he has science behind that. It's you think, you choose in life. It's your choice. It's your decision. It's not. Most of the time, it's your unconscious mind. And let me tell you something interesting. Even by your choice, what you choose for profession, unless you, for example, in India, parents decide for their children often to become, for example, engineers, medical doctors. If it's your choice, I can predict a lot about you too, by even your choice for profession. Also, Ben, if I will drive with you in your car as a passenger and you won't change anything, for example, you created certain environment in your car, and also how your drive strategies, I can predict many things about how you use the same strategies in your relationships and, for example, in your business. Do you want me to give you a specific example for driving, for example?
Yeah, sure. Fill me in here.
For example, I was in the car sometimes when people last moment they are getting exit from a highway, and they do it all that time. In this case, they have tendencies to do the last moment for everything in life, everything, projects, for example, to pick up certain things, all of that. For example, if some people always get too close to cars, they might have boundary issues. And the same in relationships, even they don't know people, they try to get too close. And, for example, tell too much personal information or to become your kind of best friend right away. Does it make sense?
Yeah. I think so. Basically, what you're saying is that the way that someone drives is basically giving you insight about their personality, the potential for trauma, the potential for stress, whether they're in a sympathetically driven state. And to me, that just seems pretty intuitive that if someone is an asshole driver or is a last minute signaling off the highway type of driver, that might be the way that they live in other elements of their life. I don't necessarily know if that's rocket science or if that's news to anybody that, you know, a more patient driver who follows the rules might be a more organized type A person or perhaps is less sympathetically driven, you know, versus the person screaming down the highway at a million miles an hour or forgetting a signal or something like that. But how does that actually flesh itself out as far as you actually seeing something like that and affecting change in someone?
And actually, first of all, I would like to mention, you told, I'm not looking for trauma for driving. It's I'm looking, there are kind of unconscious strategies, metaprograms, kind of drives. And how you do one thing, it goes congruently in all areas of your life. For example, strategies how you do driving, you do pretty much similar in your business and relationships.
So in terms of, again, like the practical example of how this works out, like if you're working with somebody like me, for example, what do you do next? You got the photos of me, you have this this picture that I drew, you know, and people are listening in and they want to know, okay, you have all this information, but what do you actually do with it? Like what happens from there?
It depends what would you like to achieve. If you have, for example, a specific issue, and even people do not know that it's possible to permanently, dramatically change your face, posture, and voice. For example, I was asked to change somebody's voice because people knew it's possible. Most of the time, people don't know it's possible.
To change their voice, you mean?
Dramatically. For example, I had someone and he knew, I told that person, I told him it is possible. He had, he was a tall man, like really masculine develop, and he had very high pitch, very nasal voice, and he was embarrassed of his voice. And even he tried to change his voice consciously, and it did not work. And we identified what exactly some neuromuscular locks in his body, in his muscles that took part in breathing, in his face. And we changed unconscious programs that developed that. And pretty much in three, I believe, sessions from that voice, his voice became almost like a baritone singer, very deep, no any like nasal sound, completely dramatically changed his voice. And the change was permanent. You don't need to do any exercises or to try to do something else. It's just when it's done, it's permanent.
What did you do to change his voice?
It's what I told you before. We identify exactly what unconscious programs created, and as a result, what affected in his body. And we worked on each unconscious program that was manifesting in certain sensation in body. For example, he had kind of sense of inability to breathe, kind of holding breath, breathing shallow, kind of heaviness in chest. And after transforming that unconscious program that created that, his voice became deep. And after we resolved some unconscious program that created certain kind of, I don't know what it is, either constant inflammation or certain things affecting like around his nose that created nasal sound. And also he had really big lock spasm in his jaw. His jaw was not like, was not fluidity to open it easily. When we resolve all of that, that's why his voice permanently shifted. Does it make sense?
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. Okay, so based on all this, what would you say about me?
I saw a lot of information in your photographs and in your drawing. And for drawing, I would like to tell you how I usually do it. I would ask more questions about drawings. And even by looking at somebody's drawings, I have maybe already thousands of drawings. I saw similar patterns. They're not the same, only very similar patterns how people draw. And it can be expression for freeze, flight, and fight response. And let me tell you what I saw so far. Like, we can talk about that for 1.5 hours, only what I saw. Like, I will try to do it more briefly because we don't have much time.
Okay.
Right? First of all, in your face, I see neuromuscular locks. And I see a lot, Ben. And can I ask you, because I don't know, how old are you?
I'm 38.
You are very young.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. You look amazing for your age. And if you did not have those neuromuscular locks, you would look 10 year or 15 years even younger. You have a lot of neuromuscular lock in your forehead, a lot of lines around your eyes, and also in this area, what do you call it, like from your nose to your mouth and in your chin. And I can predict certain things where you have neuromuscular locks. And also I would look for symmetry or asymmetry in your face and posture. And you have some asymmetry in your face. And you can do it yourself. If you put a photograph you sent to me,
mm-hmm.
If you cover a half of your face and look on one part of your face, left part, and look in your right, sometimes you see completely different expression of face. As if you are not experiencing yourself at the same time. And I see it in your face. For example, I can see around your left eye, mm-hmm. You have much stronger neuromuscular lock. More spasms. Let me ask you, are you aware if you have highly awareness to sounds?
Not really. I don't think I have any more awareness to sounds than the average person that I'm aware of.
How about irritation or anxiety about certain sounds?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Because it can be some internal sounds or external. And I would like to ask you, have you ever tried to cover, not a doctor's office, to cover one eye and look at the world through that eye and another eye and look at the world through that other eye? If you, for example, if you can see somehow more clear, more detail through your right eye.
Well, I guess I could try right now. So you're saying,
yes,
like,
please
cover my right eye and look out my left eye. And now mm-hmm. I'm covering my left eye and looking out my right eye.
You need to get your time to adjust.
Yeah.
Cover your left eye, look at things around, color, details. And after remove your hand, let your eyes to adjust and cover the other guy.
I would say that things seem a little bit better through the left eye, just subjectively, but you know they don't seem dramatically different.
Left eye. Because I see a difference, like again, what muscles are creating around your eyes. For some people, what they see in you, for some people, not for all, can create even headaches, even sensitivity to light, but not for 100% of people. This kind of neuromuscular locks around your eyes and in your forehead.
And so when you see that, what does that mean?
It can mean what I can predict, maybe you are aware of not, like again, it can change, even you exercise a lot, it can change that too, can create a relief. You have like a lot of is going on in your mind. Did you notice you have, like I can predict you are very comfortable in multitasking?
Yeah, I would say I'm decent at multitasking. I can juggle a lot of things at once or yes. Do multiple conversations at once, keep track of a lot of things at once typically.
Especially you're talking about conversations because not everybody can do so.
Mm-hmm.
And if you focus inward, how like your thoughts, mind, and especially looking at the drawing, if you can open the drawing you sent to me, like you can bring more awareness how your mind works.
Okay. So what can you tell about that drawing that I made? And by the way, you told me it should take 3 minutes. So I only gave myself 3 minutes to draw it. So it's definitely not a Pablo Picasso. But what'd you learn about it?
Do you see your drawing now?
I don't have it in front of me, but I remember exactly what it looked like. It's actually up on my kitchen table right now.
Okay, in this case, remember your drawing.
Okay.
Remember your drawing.
Okay.
I remember it vividly too. There were kind of lines, some interrupted, some kind of not complete circles, lines in the circles, dots inside. Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And bring awareness like into your head, into your mind.
Bring the awareness of what I drew.
Awareness in your mind, yes.
Okay, all right. I'm imagining I can see what I drew in my mind.
Yes. When you become aware of your mind, for example, some people can describe, oh, it's a chaos in my head. By your drawing, I can tell more or less your thoughts are organized, only they are multiple thoughts at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And looking at your drawing, I can tell, is it, I can predict about you. That sometimes you even don't finish one thought, you go to another thought, and you can kind of, you might have multiple thoughts thinking at the same time. Do you experience it?
Yeah, I think everybody experiences that, don't they?
No, some people don't have that ability to focus at the same time on multiple thoughts. Like you told, you are able to have conversations at the same time with multiple people. Not everybody can do so.
Okay.
And you think it's normal because it's your, like how your mind works. Also, I can predict about you that you, how to metaphorically, you have open multiple things at the same time. They are not completely finished and kind of your working can at the same time and possibly unconsciously thinking about all of that. For example, I will give you an example. When you're working on a computer, do you experience multiple windows are open?
Yeah, I mean, not as many as some people have seen, but typically I've got, you know, probably like half a dozen tabs open. But I mean, it's just, for me, that's just logistically productive because I've got, you know, my mail tab, my feed reader tab, an article I might be working on, and, you know, a couple of research papers. And so, yeah, I mean, like, I don't think that's uncommon to have multiple tabs open on a computer, is it?
Some people do not like that. They have, for example, two or one or three because they would feel on the contrary anxious. Like, again, it's your mental strategies, how your unconscious mind is working. And did you have that tendency, especially when you were younger, sometimes finishing things, sometimes not.
No, I usually finish stuff. Like, that's one of my problems. I start a lot of stuff, but I'm pretty stubborn. Like, I usually finish most things I start.
Oh, I can tell about you. You're very determined. You're going to eventually do it. It's what I'm talking about. For example, if you can finish now, but somehow other things are coming up. Maybe you think it's more important. Other. What I'm talking about, keeping open at the same time multiple things.
Oh, yeah. I'm always working on multiple projects. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, because I saw it in your drawing. Some people cannot do that. They feel uncomfortable. They need to finish this now and after to move to the next thing. It's your strategy.
Okay. All right. Well, I probably could have told you that. I don't know if I needed a doctor to look at a drawing to tell me that.
Of course, you are, like, certain things what I'm talking, you are aware. Mm-hmm. Certain things you are not aware. The most important, what these things can cause in your system. And by resolving that, because it's unconscious program cause it, I would like to tell you, because I work on similar unconscious program for some people. This unconscious program, even you are very energetic, I can tell. This unconscious program can take your energy, can waste a lot of energy, because at the same time, without your awareness, unconsciously, you are focusing on too many things. And okay. By resolving that, you'll be able to do it, but kind of more kind of efficiently.
Yeah, but yeah, again, like, isn't that the same for everybody? I mean, like, if somebody's working on multiple projects, they would obviously have a little bit more energy if they freed up the energy being devoted to multiple projects and just focused on one thing or focused on one conversation. I mean, again, I think, like, that's pretty intuitive, isn't it?
First of all, not 100% can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's be certain strategies. Some people cannot multitask. It's too overwhelming and stressful for them. They won't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what I'm saying is the people who do multitask, you're saying you would have more energy if you didn't multitask, but I think that probably most people kind of know that.
Actually, it's how you multitask.
Okay.
You can multitask in different ways. Like, again, there are different strategies. And in one way, it can save your energy. In another way, it can waste your energy.
How could you multitask in a way that would save your energy? What would be an example of that?
When you resolve that unconscious program that create kind of taking your energy and efficiently multitasking, you will be multitasking efficiently. For example, you unconsciously will choose what to focus on first and how much to accomplish. And even you're not finished, you won't be even unconsciously thinking about that till it's time to go back to that task. Maybe it does not make sense to you.
You're saying that if you stop working on a task, it's going to bug you or you're unconsciously think about it while you're taking a break from it?
Possibly, yes.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
In this case, you'll be laser focused, finished here, and is put it on hold without thinking, even unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
And next.
Okay.
And it's only one of examples. I will give you as another example. I do not have strategies how to read fast. I don't know how to teach it. Mm-hmm. For example, I had some clients, by resolving certain unconscious program, suddenly they started to read twice or three times faster without trying.
Mm-hmm.
Faster mental processing and reading.
Because they weren't multitasking?
No. It's nothing to do with multitasking. Because that unconscious program that created reading not as fast. For example, it's not safe to miss something what you read. It's unconscious, you even don't know. And some people unconsciously pay more attention or overread several times. It's all unconscious, they don't know why. Doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because possibly during childhood or possibly genealogically, either they were punished for missing something or losing money because they missed something. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, like a FOMO kind of. They want to do a lot at once for fear of missing out or for living with a spirit of scarcity versus abundancy. Yeah, that certainly makes sense.
You mentioned fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. I had so many clients, they had fear of missing out, and their life schedule was too busy.
Mm-hmm.
They could not say no to anything, to any event and or travel, because they had fear of missing out, even they were exhausted, for example.
Hmm. Yeah.
And when you resolve it, not anymore, they will be more strategic of what they do.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. So basically, if I understand correctly, what you do is you look at someone's posture, you do a video call with them like this, you look at their face, you look at something they've drawn, you identify areas in their life like excess sympathetic nervous system activation, evidence of trauma, evidence of improperly structuring their tasks, etc. And then you do some kind of like a therapy with them to help them to make changes.
I don't call it therapy because I don't do psychotherapy or analysis or talk therapy or cognitive behavioral giving strategies, not.
Mm-hmm.
Just what I told you before, identifying exactly what kind of unconscious program caused it, what this unconscious program manifests in body in a way of spasms of muscles, feelings in body, and it's possible to completely transform it. And when it's done, the results are permanent. People don't need to do any kind of techniques, exercises, even think about that. They will be different how they perceive themselves, the world, and people. Even how people would perceive you, because you would shift so much. Even people, by looking at you, it's kind of first unconscious impression, would think differently about you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it will change even your thinking patterns, behaving, how you feel, relationships, pretty much so many things will shift automatically and permanently.
Give me an example of what you do, like with me. Like what would be something that you would do to change something that you saw that could be unfavorable based on either my drawing or my photos or the video? Like how would you affect change in someone like me?
You'll be surprised, Ben, when you will hear what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Because some people are not aware at all. Even I tell them what I see, what I can predict. And some of them told me, oh, it cannot be true. And after they contact me and they tell, yes, actually it is true. Now I'm aware of that. Because starting this conversation, it's your unconscious mind is listening. It's bringing awareness what's happening. And your unconscious mind will continue to communicate even we are done with this conversation. And people are more aware of what we are talking about. What I notice about you, you are guarding yourself.
Mm-hmm. Guarding myself.
Guarding yourself, uh-huh. Unconsciously. You are guarding your heart. You are let yourself out to people, to the world, and to some maybe big degree.
Mm-hmm.
And you do not let people in on a deeper level unless people you know very, very well and you trust them. You do not let people in.
Isn't that pretty common that you would not really fully open yourself up to people unless they were somewhat close to you or unless you trusted them? Like to me, that seems like a universal human characteristic.
Not necessarily. It depends how. If you are around somebody stranger, aggressive, of course you're not letting that person in. I'm talking about when you consciously feel safe There is not, for example, a dangerous person in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of these unconscious programs, unconsciously you won't let people in. Let me give you a very brief example about myself.
Okay.
Many years ago, I attended some seminar, and that person taught dreams, any kind of night dreams, instant dreams, daydreams. And everybody did draw a drawing. And I did draw a drawing, and I did not understand what I did draw. And back then, I considered myself letting people in, letting myself out, connecting on a very deep level, because I'm a highly empath and compassionate. It's what I thought. I'm kind, compassionate. I let people in. I showed that drawing to him, and that person told, you are not letting people in on a surface level. I was shocked. I did not know that. I asked all of my close, even friends and acquaintances, is it true? Please be honest. They all told yes. And I had no idea about that. In this case, I can predict, Ben, maybe even you don't know, you connect with people only on some level,
mm-hmm.
not on the deepest level that's possible. When you resolve those unconscious programs that cause it, without trying, you'll be able to do it. And in this case, even your posture, neck position, can shift too,
mm-hmm.
because it's all about not bigger, not safe, unconscious program, and it's all unconscious.
Interesting. Interesting.
I noticed something else about you.
Okay.
Maybe you're not aware, Ben. Like, again, what I tell people, they're not aware.
So far, I'm pretty aware of everything you've told me. None of this is breaking news, but what did you notice?
I noticed there are some unconscious programs inside, and that's why it's affecting, like creating neuromuscular locks in your eyes, around your eyes, and I saw it in your drawing.
Okay.
Kind of empty spaces. And unconsciously, some part of you experiencing kind of, not necessarily you feel it a lot, kind of emptiness. And let me tell you what people describe, my clients. Some people told me, even around friends and family members, at some moments, they felt kind of alone, disconnected, not belonging. I'm not telling you feel it, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of sense of emptiness, or they felt sad. They had unconscious need to fill those empty spaces, metaphorically, unconsciously. In this case, I can predict, possibly, not 100%, possibly, you do amazing things in life. Only when you are done certain things, you accomplish a lot, you are satisfied, not for a long time. Not for a long time. There is a sense next to do something else in order to be more fulfilled, more satisfied. Do you have a sense what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I certainly like to achieve. I like to, you know, finish a race or a competition or a challenge and kind of sign up for something else that challenges me. Absolutely.
Yes, and after that, tell me, for how long do you feel so satisfied you have done it? For how long?
Oh, maybe 15 seconds.
That's right. And after, it's unconscious. Unconscious mm-hmm. need to fill that space inside to do something else in order to be satisfied. And unless you resolve this program, it's about doing constantly things. And I can predict you feel all time in your life in order to be very busy.
Mm-hmm.
And also, possibly, even it's hard for you, like again, exercising a lot can kind of compensate it. I can tell that often it's hard for you to not to do anything.
Well, when is anybody not doing anything at all? I mean, even my wife, who relaxes a lot, she'll sit out on the front porch and drink a glass of wine and, you know, stare out at the beautiful prairie behind our house, but she's drinking wine and looking at the prairie. I mean, like, unless you're asleep or unconscious, you're always doing something, right?
Not necessarily. For example, I had a client and she considered herself optimistic,
mm-hmm.
and she was very driven and accomplishing a lot. And during our work, what she realized, she could not be still and quiet. On the contrary, parasympathetic mode of nervous system created more unease.
Yeah, I would say that if I do not allow the time for me to do things like that, like meditation, relaxed time with family, strumming my guitar, etc., that happens. But you know, I know myself pretty well, and I know that those type of things are important just from overall stress and relaxation and happiness level. So I actually do, I think, a pretty good job having, you know, sessions during the day where I duck out for 20 minutes to meditate or just sit with my wife and have a glass of wine or, you know, play a family board game or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, like, I certainly am one of those guys who doesn't really sit through an entire movie without wanting to go, you know, read a book or do something a little more productive. But I feel like after growing to know myself and recognize some of the tendencies you're also pointing out, that I do a pretty good job now stepping away and finding times to just do nothing at all.
And it's really important, and you learned how to do it. And already it's an indication you cannot sit through the movie. I call it mental and physical restlessness. Like, if you are watching a movie, you might think about something maybe you forgot to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's unconscious need to get up, excuse, to go to the bathroom, to the kitchen, because it's kind of unconscious, of course, no permission, inability to relax and have time for yourself, or sense not safe. Let me ask you something. Do you know your genealogical family roots? Like, you are generationally, for example, are some parts coming from Northern Europe, for example, Great Britain.
Yeah.
I could predict it even by looking at you, I don't know how. What other family roots do you have?
A little German, a little Ashkenazi Jew, a little a French Quebec, and yeah, I think those are really the primary countries of origin, if you look at, you know, my ancestry data.
Thank you. Somehow I could predict British family roots, because mm-hmm. I see certain similar patterns where genealogically people are from. What mm-hmm. I noticed, when people have genealogy from certain countries, they have more genealogical traumas.
Mm-hmm.
And in Great Britain, Germany, and Jewish family roots, a lot of war, violence, kind of even suppression, not expressing yourself. And that's why it's not unconscious, not allowed to sit. Otherwise, if you sit, something bad can happen. Danger. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That could be programmed genealogically. And if to resolve these unconscious programs, I had clients, mental, physical restlessness on a 0 to 10. 10 is the biggest. 10. Now it's 1, and entire life changed. How they think, an ability to watch a movie, to relax, all of that.
Interesting. Well, this is very, very fascinating what you do. I know that we're starting to run short on time, but you work with people one-on-one. Like, folks can actually go to, what is it, DrOlga.com?
Yes.
Yeah.
I work one-on-one, not full-time. I have high-end services, and also I do group sessions separately for women and men.
Okay. All right. And then I know you also... you have some free audios that I'm going to embed in the show notes over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Olga. One called Calm and Relaxed, and one called Fall Asleep Easily and Effortlessly. So you also create these audios to help people out. Are these recorded by you?
Yes. And okay. also, there is a video webinar I did with a medical doctor, Jill Carnahan, expert in functional medicine.
Okay, cool. And so folks could go, and that one's about stress and anxiety and how to release that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know you guys did that during this coronavirus quarantine, so probably a fitting time to do that.
Can I add something else about you?
Sure, go ahead.
These unconscious programs, I told you, will influence your nervous system. If you're familiar with psychoneuroimmunology field in medicine, and your immune and nervous system will influence your immune system, and cardiovascular, of course. And I would like to tell you, because of certain these unconscious programs, even like I heard about people who were extremely healthy, still it created health issues because of some suppressed emotions, for example, unresolved trauma. For example, even some people extremely healthy had cancer or heart diseases. Or heart attack, because it can create even health conditions.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we know that based on everything from biology of belief to, David Hawkins' Healing and Recovery and a whole host of other writings about how emotions and beliefs and thought patterns, and probably the best book about that is The Healing Code, underlying chronic stress affects overall risk of mortality. So, yeah, I mean, I think that that's a... That's something that has been well proven.
And I would like to ask you, do you know if somebody in your family on mother's side and or father's side had any kind of, for example, heart conditions, any, for example, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, or any kind of heart condition?
My mom has a little bit of high blood pressure, yeah.
Hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
Because... What causes hypertension? It is anxiety and stress. And it's possible to identify this program and resolve, and not anymore. I had clients with very high blood pressure. After resolving these programs, I warned them, be careful with the medication you are taking for blood pressure. Tell your medical doctor and measure your pressure. A couple of clients almost fainted because their blood pressure became too low, because already it was stabilized, normalized what we did, and they were continued taking, for example, medication.
Yeah, I think it could be multifactorial, lack of nitric oxide production from not enough sunlight, poor omega-3 fatty acid balance, and, there are other factors. But yeah, I certainly agree that stress plays a pretty significant component. So,
significant.
Yeah. Well, this is all quite interesting. What I'll do, if folks are interested in doing a Zoom session or Skype session with you or downloading any of these audios or watching the webinar you did with Jill Carnahan, I'll just link to all that stuff. If you go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com/Olga. That's BenGreenfieldFitness.com/OLGA. If you're interested in having Dr. Olga take a look at you, your posture, your face, your drawings, and maybe giving you some information about yourself. If you find this intriguing, then I'll put all that information up there for you at BenGreenfieldFitness.com/Olga. And Olga, thanks for reaching out and for sharing this stuff with us.
You're welcome. There can be several different topics on this area. And it's so much information.
Yeah.
Like what I saw and researched over the years in anti-aging and, for example, longevity. And very briefly, for example, some of my clients, without doing anything, they shifted so much on a biochemistry, how they looked. People thought they did entire plastic surgery. They reversed age up to 20 years.
Yeah, you mentioned that. All right. Well, if anybody asks me if I got plastic surgery, I'll tell them no. I just talked to Dr. Olga. So, all right. I will put the links for everything over at BenGreenfieldFitness.com/Olga. And Olga, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
You're welcome, Ben. Thank you.
All right, folks. I'm Ben Greenfield along with Dr. Olga Stevko, signing out from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. Have an amazing week.
Well, thanks for listening to today's show. You can grab all the show notes, the resources, pretty much everything that I mentioned over at bengreenfieldfitness.com, along with plenty of other goodies from me, including the highly helpful Ben Recommends page, which is a list of pretty much everything that I've ever recommended for hormones, sleep, digestion, fat loss, performance, and plenty more. Please also know that all the links, all the promo codes that I mentioned during this and every episode help to make this podcast happen and to generate income that enables me to keep bringing you this content every single week. So when you listen in, be sure to use the links in the show notes, use the promo codes that I generate, because that helps to float this thing and keep it coming to you each and every week.